How are we all doing this morning? Good to see you all. And I'm glad to see me here. There we go. And so this morning we're going to do something different. We're going to do a little mini series, I guess, if you want to call it that. And so we are going to, God's purpose and God's plan. And for the next couple of weeks, we're gonna touch on something a little bit different. And so, I think it was November last year, we did a series called Bridging Blocks, and it was based on and helped us to have a look at who we are as a church, and looking at who we are, why we're here, what do we do, and all that kind of stuff. And so, and who we relate to. And so we looked at this slide here. We relate to New Covenant Ministries International and NCMI as a translocal or apostolic prophetic Ephesians 4 recognized team that has the following vision statement: to disciple the nations by planting New Testament churches in every village, town, city, and country that God calls us to, either by prophetic words or doors of opportunity opens to us. That was one of the foundations of who NCMI are and who we relate to. And you say, well, why are we hearing all this stuff? Because I just want to give you a little bit of a recap, because the next couple of weeks we're going to add a little more of those blocks to it in understanding a little bit about who we are. And then we, as a church, this is what we believe as a eldership-led church. We believe, obviously, in the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not as manifestations of each other, but as individual persons of the Godhead. And there is a subtle but hugely important differentiation there. And so we believe about the King and His Kingdom. It's all about the King and His Kingdom. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's actually not even about the building. It's not about this church. It's about a collective Christianity together, the King and His Kingdom. And then we looked at what kind of people are we. We're a word and spirit people. And we looked at that, on how does that differentiate us from others. And because, you know, well, are you Pentecostal? Are you charismatic? Are you Baptist? Are you this? Are you that? Are the other? And people coming in and new people joining our body sometimes can get confused about that kind of thing. And we thought, well, we don't, because the minute we say we're this, then we know how to, if you've ever been churched for a while, we know how to put the box on you. And we don't want any boxes, because Jesus doesn't have a box, God doesn't have a box, and Holy Spirit doesn't have a box. And so we want to be word and spirit, and we cannot separate the two. And by nature, we're an apostolic prophetic people. And then we spoke about our five e-grace values: encounter God, engage people, equip the saints, empower leaders, and extend the kingdom of God. That's what that looks like. And we can look at it said a different way. And we did this little picture. And of course, when we talk about empowering leaders, we talk about empowering people into the marketplace, into the church itself, into the local church, into church planting, and into translocal. And of course, everything together, we want to extend the kingdom of God and move forward. And then we came up with the vision statement, so we can all understand. At the Bridge, we connect all people to encounter God's Word and Spirit. And so if anybody ever asks you, what kind of church are you? That's what you should say. At the Bridge, we connect all people to encounter God's Word and Spirit. Now this morning I want to little bit at biblical leadership. What does that mean? I'm so glad you asked. Now, some people have if you can see a picture, there's a road going with two ditches, and there are two major extremes in church leadership. One is it's over-glamorized, and the other ditch we ride on is undervalued. And both these ditches I've said we should stay out of. We don't want to be glamorized, over-glamorized ourselves, and B, we don't want to over-glamorize the position. Understanding fully that Jesus is the head of the church, and that's it. We are not subscribed with the man for the power for the hour, the anointed one, the one with all the gifting, the one who does this, the one pastor, one leader of the church. That's, you know, put someone on a pedestal and you just know somewhere along the line they are going to fall off. And so number one is the leaders of this church, we A, don't want to get onto the pedestal, and two, we don't want to be put there. And then of course the other ditch is undervalued. Number, we're all just together here and we're all just equal and we're all just doing our own thing and we all just, no, that's not what the Bible says. And that's why today we're going to do a lot of Bible. So it's better if you just take your notebook and your pen and write down the scriptures, because we're going to go through a lot of scripture today, a lot of Bible, because I think the way we look at biblical leadership is not by my clever thoughts, but by what the Bible says about it. And we're going to exegete some of that stuff, and we're going to get into some Greek today, and it's going to be Greek to most of us most of the day. But that's what we're going to do. Because when you come in here, you come in with a presupposition of what church leadership looks like, because of where you've come from. And that's not a bad thing. Please don't hear me. We're right and everybody else is wrong. No. This is just what we see in Scripture. And this is what we want to run hard after, to accept what the Bible says about biblical leadership. And I mean, I don't have the time today to go into Old Testament elders and New Testament elders and Old Testament priests and how that works in the New Testament. And maybe we'll get this somewhere. Well, we need to understand that Jesus is concerned for his church. Jesus loves this more than any of us together in this room can imagine. They have a vested interest, and that's why we plant churches. We planted to extend the kingdom of God, that people would come to know Jesus Christ, that they would come to an understanding of the supremacy, the sovereignty, the lordship of Jesus Christ. Not because we have a great building and we're a great bunch of people. That's good. That helps. That's part of the parcel. But it's to honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus said, I will build my church. That wasn't just a wild statement, you know, sitting, I've said before, lazing with his boys. And he sort of like could see they were all getting tired, so he thought he'd just say something looking into the fire. He said, I'll build my church. No. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So we have to understand and look. And when we look at that, we have to understand that when we look at a building and something and a pattern, and I probably could have called this God's purpose, God's plan, God's pattern, God's preeminence, God's PPPP, whatever you want to think of. But when you look in the Old Testament, anything that God ever did, there was a pattern to it. It wasn't just Moses built an ark. See? You're not listening. Because Moses didn't build the ark, Noah did. Come on, stay with me. He didn't say, Noah, build an ark. He told him exactly how it should look. So now we come to Moses. He said, Moses, when you're in the wilderness, there's a tabernacle, there's a tent tabernacle I want you to build. Go and read it. It's fascinating. And when he said, we're going to appoint the Levitical priesthood now, and these are the priests, and Aaron and his two sons, and they're going to head this thing up. Get them some clothing to wear that will distinguish them as the priests. Go and read it. It's fascinating. God was very, very specific on how they put it. And you should have the colors of the stones going four this way and three this way and four this way. And the turban should be like this with this diamond in it and that. And it just goes on and on and on. And I know, well, Mark, that's not such fascinating reading. But it is if you want to understand. And then when they were finished with that, when they built the temple in Jerusalem, it was specific on how to build it. So when Jesus comes to his church in the New Testament, it's not like, guys, just go ahead and do what you like. He said, there's a pattern and a way that I want you to build the church. And he's concerned. Paul, when he's penning his first letter, you've probably all read this by now. And he reads in Corinthians, he says, talks about the doctrine, and he addresses some issues they're having in the church. And chapters 12 to 14 is mostly where everybody always reads, and gifts of the Spirit and love and prophecy and tongues, way of love and worship. And then he ends off that chapter by saying this in verse, God is not a God of confusion. He's not confused. God's not confused. God is a God of confusion, not a God of confusion, but one of peace. And then in verse 40 he says, but all things should be done decently and in order. And he talks, you go and read it yourselves. I've got to move on. So what does it mean when it looks at his structure? So what does the Bible say about leadership in the church? When it refers to leaders in the local church, we only see two offices mentioned, elders and deacons. And then in Philippians chapter 1, sorry, thank you. I see that hand, sister. Philippians 1:1 says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. She says, but Mark, now you've spoken about elders, then you've heard, I've heard you throw out pastors, I've heard you say deacons and overseers. We see other translations, depending what you read of, use the titles elders, bishops, deacons, servants, and ministers, and they're not really titles. But we're going to drill down. This is just, I'm just laying a platform here. Jesus' concern for his church. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus, he's writing to young Timothy, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculation rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. So we have Paul with his translocal, his apostolic team, and he's going along. And previous to that, if you read the script, you'll see that he left Luke in Philippi to sort some stuff out. Then he picks Luke up again in the book of Acts, and they move on. And then he gets to here in Ephesus, and he leaves young Timothy by and says, listen, hang out here, Timothy. You're an apostolic figure. Sort this church out. Help them to grow. Point some people. Teach the right doctrine. And then he says later on, the saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires the office of an overseer, King James says bishop, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer, and then it goes on, there's a whole explanation of the qualifications if you want to be an overseer, elder, pastor, bishop, slash person in the church. In Titus, he says to young Titus, this is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. And our understanding at that time, the church wasn't made up of 50 different churches like we have here. There was one church in the town. And that's why I said, go to that place and appoint the elders. I know I'm going a little bit quickly, but today I want to hone in and drill down on this person, title, animal, position, whatever you want to call it. Let's just call it from the biblical point of view of elders. What are elders? So who are these people? And what do they do? Because we're not sure. Or maybe you are sure and hopefully change some of your thinking. So here's some nice thoughts. Technicians of a preferred future. We're custodians of God's dream. We're custodians of God's truth. I know Chris is getting embarrassed. Custodians of the culture God wants to build. Attend to the heritage, audit the present, anticipate the future. Builders of a required New Testament biblical pattern or culture. That's what elders do. Well, what does the Bible say about these people? Biblically, there are three Greek words. I told you we're going to do some Greek. Used for these people or leaders. They are interchangeable and denote the same person with a different function. So the Bible talks about elder, which is the person. Here we have the four amigos and their wives. We are the elders of the bridge. And then there's the title called shepherd or pastor, which is a function. So the Greek word there is poimaina. The first one is presbyteros, if you want to say them. And then the last one we see written in Scripture is overseer slash bishop. There's also a function, and the Greek word is episkopos. So scripturally, they refer more to function than to title. Well, thanks for telling this, Mark, but like you said, it's all Greek right now. So what are these three Greek words, and what do they mean? Because it can't say, well, that's Greek, and then I sound clever, and you go, well, that was all Greek to me. So let's drill down and see what those Greek words mean. In Scripture, we see presbyteros means elder. That's what it means. And that's where you get the word presbyter, presbyterian, and presbyterians, and that's where you get the denomination from, the Presbyterian Church. They're elders. As far as I know, 99.99, because I don't know every Presbyterian church, they function with the plurality of elders. They don't function in a single elder. Then there's the poimaino, which is the pastor, the shepherd, translated only other way in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, which means pastor means shepherd, to shepherd God's people. And then there is the episkopos, which means overseer. And also, as I've said before, translated in other versions, probably King James more, as bishop. And they've broken down. The word means epi, is over, scopus, to see over. So it doesn't mean hierarchically over, it means overseer. That's where we get overseer from. Okay, so now that we've done a little bit of that, let's have a look at, well, where do you get all these clever things, Mark? I don't get them. There's a guy called God breathed the word and people wrote it down. It's called the Bible. I didn't write this stuff. So we can look at it in different ways. Now from Miletus, or Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders, the presbyteros, of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, and it goes on for a bit, and this is your first, what I like to think of as the equip time, when the first leaders of the church has all got together, and they sat down, and Paul expounds and tells them. But now, verse 28, I've given it to you in three different versions, all made the church to be episkopos, the red. So it says, to care for, to poimaino the people, as we know now, it's to mean to shepherd or pastor the people. Then it says, be shepherds in the NIV. So ESV says to care for, to be shepherds, still the same word translated of the church of God. And then in the King James, it says episkopos, to feed, which means to poimaino the people, the church of God. So now we're starting to drill down a little bit more and say, oh, that's where all those clever words come from, the Bible. That's helpful to know. One of the best examples is when Peter writes in 5:1, he says to the elders, the presbyteros, among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. So anyone ever asks you, was Peter an apostle? He says, yes, but he was also an elder, because he says he was. As a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory be revealed. Now he's speaking to the elders of the church. He says, be shepherds, be poimano of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, as episkopos, as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade. So here he's speaking to the elders, slash pastors, slash shepherds, slash bishops, slash overseers. It means an overseer is a guy who shears the sheep too many times. That was quick. So what do elders do? Elders, we've said the Greek word is presbyteros, which means to govern and to rule. And, well, I don't like those words. Well, they're not mine. And that word Greek in to govern and rule in Greek means to prostemai, which means to rule, to be over, to stand before in rank. It's a military term. The ones who take the hits on your behalf. To preside, to practice, and to maintain. So that's what presbyteros, elder, means, to govern and rule. Now, is that just a good idea, or is that in the Bible? Because that should be always your question. I'm glad you asked. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders who prostemai, who rule well. NIV says direct the affairs of the church. Well, be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you, who are prostemai in the Lord and admonish you. Well, you can't tell me what to do. No, you're 100% right. We speak out of a heart to assist, to help, to bring direction, bring focus, but not as a thing, because you have to stand before God yourself. I made this bad decision. Well, the elder said I should do that, or the pastor said I should do that. No, we speak at a point of helping, assisting. 1 Timothy 3:4, he must manage, prostemai, his own household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. Sounds like a fun job, eh? It's not a job, because there's another thing. We don't get hired. I didn't get hired by this church. I was called to this church. God calls, God points, God anoints. The other pastors, elders, overseers, bishops, They were called and appointed by God to lead this. We lead as a team. Okay, where am I? The next word, overseer, episkopos, remember, overseer, guardianship, means to guard and shepherd. The Greek word for that, guarding, is prosteko, or porsheko. My Greek is getting better, eh? To hold the mind towards, pay attention, to be cautious about, apply oneself to attend, to have oversight. The Greek for the shepherding part is to tend as a shepherd, figuratively supervise. Where am I? Again, where is that in the Bible? Because that's the question. Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church, keep watch, prosecco, over yourselves. We should watch over ourselves first. And all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, be shepherds of the church of God, which he brought with his own blood. That's why this is Jesus' church. He paid for it. I didn't bleed for it. The other elders didn't bleed for it, this church. Jesus bled, not only bled, he died and was resurrected. This is his church. And we are just happy to be the under-shepherds that called us. 1 Peter 5:1. So I exhort the elders among you, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. Do not be lackadaisical. It's not that that's what the Bible says. We cannot be lackadaisical because it's an imperative in Scripture that we should exercise oversight. And that's episkopeo, because we understand nouns, verbs, adverbs, pronouns, blah, 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 blah. Not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but examples to the flock. I know this is a lot, eh? Is it helpful? Okay, good. Third one, what do elders do? Poimano, to shepherd and pastor. And what does that mean? As we looked at it, said to guard and to feed. The Greek, when it comes to feed, is teach, the didaskalia, which means through an instruction, through doctrine, through learning and teaching. So what I've tried to do with all of this is not to say, well, I think this is what it means, so I've done some intensive study, as you probably, hopefully can see, to get to the nub of it. What were they talking about? What were they saying? What was Jesus' intention for his church? What was he saying when he was speaking to these guys who were penning these instructions for us, helping us? And of course, the important thing again is, well, Mark, where did you get that piece in the Bible? Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Didaskalia. King James Version says, they who labor in the word and doctrine. 1 Timothy 3:2. Therefore, an overseer must be able to teach. Titus 1:7. For an overseer is God's steward, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine, and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Now, that rebuke word in the English language is a hard word. And it's not, well, I believe that Jesus rose on the fourth day. Well, then I'm happy for you. I'm not going to argue with you because it's ridiculous. So there's no point in raising arguments. We're not meant to argue with one another. And you can read that in Scripture as well. The point is to help, to give. There's a word that keeps eluding me. It's running around in my head. When we speak to the congregation, we do it under not giving permission, but giving perspective, is what I wanted to say. Okay. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, overseers, to care for, poimano, the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. We've been through this before. I exhort the elders among you, shepherd, poimano, the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. This is again looking at poimano, shepherd, pastor. That's what we were looking at. Now, just to summarize quickly what I've said, who and what are these people? The Greek words we see are episkopos, presbyteros, poimano, which overstated says overseer, bishop, elder, pastor. Scripturally displayed as functions more than titles. All three are interchangeable, describing the same person, yet with a different function. And so that's why when people have come in here, they want to know, who is the pastor? And I don't know what the other guys always say. I always say, there are four of us. Because if I say, biblically correctly, if I say, well, we don't use titles here, we say elder, then a whole lot of you are going to go, okay, and I understand elder board, so that's those guys. Where's the pastor? And what I'm helping you to see biblically, the elders are the pastors, are the overseers, are the bishops. The elder is the person. The other ones are functions of that person. And the reason is, so, and I know some people prefer to call us pastor, and we're not fighting that. Please go ahead and do that. And there is, that's again, we don't want to over-glamorize or undervalue what God has called us to. But our thinking is that I don't call Alan Architect Alan. I'll just call him Alan. So that's why we often say, just call me Mark. That doesn't take anything away from the office that I stand in or the other guys stand in. And I know some of you say, well, in my culture, as I said, I'm happy for you. Yeah, I'm not fighting for anything. I'm just teaching this today so we understand what it means. So when you hear the interchangeable, you go, oh, I thought he was the pastor. Now he's saying elder. Well, it's the same animal. Where are we? In the biblically described, there we go. What we are not CEOs, presidents, chairman of the board of the Banana Republic, or presidents for life. That's not who we are. Who we are fathers in the household of faith. That's where we are. So try and break that down a little bit again, just going off the back of the scripture. Elders, the office and qualification, we are called to govern. And it's the person, the man's mature character. It says, do not make someone an elder who hasn't been saved very long. Pastor, spiritual ministry, guide, man's caring spirit and overseer, is oversight of the work to be done, God. So if you ever hear us talk about govern, guide, and God, that's what we mean. Elders are to watch over the flock as overseers, as they tend to care for and feed the sheep as pastors. What is the how of elders? Not lording it or domineering over God's people. Matthew 20:20. Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. 2 Corinthians 1:24. Not that we lord it over your faith. This is from an apostolic point of view. Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, for you stand firm in your faith. 1 Peter 5:2. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion. Oh, do I have to do this again? No. Maybe it's time to stop being an elder. But willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And that is our heart. But we don't lord it or domineer over God's people, or we trust we don't. I'm sure someone will tell us if we do. We are to be servants and examples. Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. That's a tough scripture, eh? But it's scripture. Philippians 4:9. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul speaking to the Philippian church, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? If you follow and imitate my faith, peace will be upon you. And that gambit is this big. I mean, it's the subject is just, we can't cover it in one meeting. And we labor working with our hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. humanistically, not always easy. But that's what God's word says. That's what we, as I say to the other elders, this is what we signed up for, guys. 2 Timothy 3:10. You have followed my teachings, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecution and suffering. Verse 14 says, continue in what you have learned. This is the how. How do we do as elders? And then just finally, what are the responsibilities of an elder? Or is this just like float above the ground and feel cool about yourself? Come out with the smoke machine. Yeah. We're meant to rule. Well, we don't like that word. Teaching, equip the saints, prayer, exhort and refute. We like the exhort part, we don't like the refute part. And as I've said, we see them as the three G's, govern God and guide. And depending what Bible you're reading from, doctrine, direction and discipline. Don't like that one either. But it's Bible. It's what biblical leadership is. And either we subscribe to all of it, or we'll just tell you, I know, went to minister in Barbados a number of years ago, and we thought we were going to get called to the nice sunny island of Barbados to lead a church there. We ended up with, well, here we are. It's sunny here, yes, today it's sunny. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Tom. And we got there, and they said, will you please, what we want to know, first of all, will you teach us on the spiritual gifts? So I said, okay, well, what do you want to learn? 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4. And they said, what do you mean? So, well, Romans 12 is motivational gifts, the inherent gift God has given us. 1 Corinthians 12 is the gifts of the Holy Spirit, only belongs to Him. It doesn't belong to us, and we get to use it. Ephesians 4 is the ascension post-apostolic gift. What's that? So I explained, and then they said, oh, no, that's church politics. We don't want to know about that. This is my first day. So because I'm wise, I know what I wanted to say. I wanted to say, okay, should we just tear that page out the Bible and let's just move on? I didn't say that. I thought it. And I thought, okay, back off, Betsy. 3 steps back. So then I just taught them what they wanted to know because I was there to serve them. And so we went and we taught them. Anyway, we're in Canada now. Praise God for that. I have to tell you this. I saw on Facebook, I'm realizing how Canadian I'm becoming. It's got nothing to do with the sermon. How Canadian I'm becoming. I saw a thing, there's a website called South Africans in Toronto, which I subscribe to. And they put a thing up there this morning. A girl had this t-shirt that she was selling, and it had the picture of a flat crown tree and an elephant with a baby. And he said, I may live in Canada, but I'm always going to be South African. I was offended. I said, Bridget, look at this, eh? Look at these stupid people from South Africa. They come here, they take the sucker, they the enjoyment, the lifestyle. Now I'm going to be a South African. Now the truth is, there's so much of me that's always going to be a South African, but I'm also Canadian. And if you keep praying, I'll get my citizenship. Bridget and I'll get our citizenship very soon. So, anyway, let's go back to where we're preaching from. Where are we? Okay, number one, we're ruling. Oversight of the local church is the responsibility of the elders. 1 Timothy 5:17. Govern or direct the affairs of the church over God's flock, executes God's justice and govern. Well, what do you mean by that, Mark? We don't. God's justice, His righteousness, and His government, which is what I'm all talking about this morning, the government of the church, the government of the elders. And we know that for Jesus, the government's upon His shoulders. We just happen to have a piece of it. We get all that, understand that. But we're not judging anything. We're executing, putting into practice. Is probably a better word. Executing, cutting the head off of the justice. Anyway. will have to give an account one day. And that's why I've said to you many times, I take this calling so seriously. I'm going to stand one day before the Lord and He's going to say, what did you do with the bridge? I'm going to go, nice bunch of people, Jesus. No. Did you oversee them? Did you give oversight to them? Did you guard them and guide them and govern them? Did you bring direction and doctrine and discipline to them? I don't want to do that. I want to have a nice laid out speech. Which probably won't happen because when I see him, I'll fall down on my face. Anyway, have to give an account. Prophecy. We can't just let anybody just prophesy whatever they want to prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14:29. Divisions in the church, we've got to deal with that. Morality in the church, we've got to deal with that. And you probably can add to my list here and help me, but that's part of ruling. Teaching, while all elders rule, they do not all teach to the same extent. It says that an elder should be able to teach, but we all don't teach to the same extent. We've got to teach some sound doctrine. Bring clarity, I'm trying. An understanding of the King and His kingdom. Well, what did he just say? I don't understand a single word he just said. Walk out of here more confused than when you walked in. That's not helpful. And there's a difference between preaching, proclaiming God's word, and teaching, explaining God's word. And some are gifted to preach. And they preach more prophetically than they teach exegetically. Those who teach will be held accountable. I want to be a teacher. Okay, James 3:1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Well, that would set me aside to start off with. Huh? I remembered once when I'd called into the ministry and I was like champing at the bit. I mean, I was like, man, Greg was leading. Greg gets up there, he makes it look so easy, man. I can do this. And then once every 4 months, 5 months, he'd ask me to preach. I'd go, oh, dear. And then, of course, I've got 4 months of preaching inside of me. And so I'd give it my all. And he said, well, you know, what do you think? I said, man, this is easy. This is good. I can do it. And then he said to me a sobering thought. He said, so with the gusto and the depth and everything that you did this morning, Sunday morning preach, can you do that next Sunday morning, next Sunday night? Because we did two services a day. Next Sunday morning, not preach the same sermon. Sunday morning, Sunday night, next week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, next week, Sunday morning, Sunday night. I went home and I thought, whoa, there's a point I missed here completely. Jesus mandated to Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, take care of my sheep. Equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. God's intention that we would all be priests. Had another whole long thing about Old Testament elders, Old Testament priests, New Testament elders, New Testament priests, because there is a big difference. Because we think, well, elders, Old Testament, elders, New Testament, prophets in the Old Testament, prophets in the New, it's all the same. No, it's not. It's very different because we're under a different dispensation. Old Covenant, New Covenant. Learn to divide the two. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So as elders, where do we get to equip you? Sunday meetings, Wednesday prayer meetings, life groups, translocal equip times when we get invited, etc., etc. When we sit down over a cup of coffee with you and all that kind of stuff. Prayer. Sponsoring elders to pray. And that's why I can unashamedly stand before you and say every Friday morning, or most Friday mornings, I'll say every because that wouldn't be true. Most Friday mornings, four of us get together and we pray for you. And we pray for your life. And we pray for your marriages. And we pray for your businesses. And we pray for whatever it is that God shows us to pray for. And this is not an exhaustive list. There are many, 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 many ways to pray. And that's what we do is we pray. Acts 6 is a great example. Let the deacons take care of this. And we'll talk about that later. so that the elders could devote themselves to the word and to prayer. Nearly finished. We are to exhort and refute. 1 Timothy 4:2-3. Some will depart the faith, and you can go and read the whole thing, when others come with deceitful spirits, teachings of demons, insincerity of lies, seared consciences. Those are strong words. These are the parts of the Bible that we just normally just skip over. Let me go to Psalms. Hallelujah. Got to read the good, the bad, and the ugly as well. We're feeling. Titus 2:15. Those whose minds have become defiled and their conscience seared. But exhort and refute that stuff. 1 Timothy 6. Command, charge the rich not to be haughty. Titus 1. Rebuke them sharply that they may be... That's not the rich. That's just it's talking about other people's different thing. Yeah, just in case you think, well... Rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Those that distort the faith and the truth of God. Be gentle, sweet, and loving, and kind with them. No, rebuke them sharply. They bring nonsense. Another, I think I might have it somewhere. Another thing we're called is watchmen. We are meant to be watchmen. Just like every man is head of the house, is the priest in his house, what he allows into his house happens in his house. If he doesn't allow it, it shouldn't happen. Another long sermon. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, be ready in and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Sometimes you might think, well, they've got no patience. What you don't know is what goes on behind the scenes. The hours and the times and the meetings and the meetings and the prayer and the fasting. And the whole heart of it should be patience, love, affirmation, correction, discipline. I think this is the last one. Yeah, it's the last one. Okay, it didn't help. That's going to make me go all the way back to the beginning again. Just put up the last slide there for me, Maka, while I go through this. So in a nutshell, these guys we called elders, rule the church well. Use God-given authority wisely. Protect the church from false teaching. Teach sound doctrine. Minister the word, study, preach, and counsel. Admonish the flock. Discipline. Work hard. Pray. Equip the saints. Shepherd the flock. Feed them, protect them, lead them. Be examples to the flock. We'll give an account for spiritual state of the church one day. We stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I only want to hear... What a great guy you were, what an amazing leader you were, or you really sucked at it. I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's all I want to hear. As we enter our rest to him, with him into the future. I know it's a little bit dry. It's good to look at this stuff every once in a while of who we are and why we do this, because... To a number of churches, we are different in our church government style simply because we see things differently. And again, I'm going to reiterate, not because we think they're wrong and we're right, but it's just the beauty of the scripture that we look at and we go, that's important to us. This is important. This is an important piece of scripture where others might not think so. And there's other things that they might say, well, that's really important. And we go, not so much. So we have to learn the difference between what is unbiblical, what is biblical, and what is abiblical. And abiblical is not always clear on how we should do things and why we do things. And then we just have to seek God's face. But we've got to be clear about what's unbiblical and what's biblical. And so here we go. I did my time. So Father, we come to you this morning, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for your word, Lord. And Lord God, we ask, Lord, that even as we come to you today, Holy Spirit, that you would ignite in a flame in us, that you would reveal to us of greater measure your word, the intent of your word, the point of what you are saying to us, Lord God. Father, let us be students of the word. Let us be the like the Bereans, Lord God. Let us have a reputation as being like the Bereans. And Father God, we ask, let your face shine upon us, bless us, favor us as we go from here today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.